Imagine inventing this groundbreaking new tool, right? And you loudly brag to your boss that it's going to soon replace your entire department.
Which is just a brilliant career move.
Oh, totally. And then you're completely shocked when management actually stops hiring.
Right.
And the real kicker, the tool doesn't even work yet. Like, that is not a hypothetical. That is the current chaotic state of artificial intelligence in the software industry today.
It's a phenomenal paradox, honestly. I mean, you have this industry built on absolute deterministic logic, ones and
Yeah,
zeros.
where a single misplaced semicolon basically crashes the entire system.
Exactly. And suddenly they're betting their entire future on a probabilistic guessing machine that basically hallucinated its way through the last tech demo.
Right. Well, welcome to the deep dive. And a special welcome to you, the learner. We know you're out there.
We definitely do.
Whether you're, prepping for a major engineering sing, or you're just trying to cut through the endless venture capital hype filling up your feed.
Or maybe you're just insanely curious about what is actually happening behind the curtain of the tech industry right now.
Exactly. You are in the exact right place because today our mission is to unpack that massive, glaring gap between the boardroom hype of AI replacing human developers and the actual boots-on-the-ground reality of using these models in the coding trenches.
And we have the absolute perfect roadmap for this. We're looking at a fiery, incredibly candid analyst report from April 2026.
Oh, it is so good.
It really is. It's from Fred Cohen over at all.net. This issue 2026-04C, and the title alone tells you everything you need to know about his perspective.
Go ahead, say.
It's called The Incredible Stupidity of Smart People.
I cannot get over that title. It is so refreshingly blunt.
It really is.
Cohen just cuts right through all the Silicon Valley buzzwords. He completely ignores the marketing spin, the glossy slide decks, and he just reveals what actually happens when you let artificial intelligence touch complex production-level code.
Right.
So, okay, let's unpack this. Cohen starts right out of the gate by putting this massive target on the backs of what he calls the AI geniuses,
Yeah, the very creators of this
really
technology.
ones who are loudly publicly claiming that they are going to replace themselves with the tech they're building.
And he peppers them with these rapid-fire questions
Yeah.
that really highlight just the total absurdity of their position.
Yeah.
Like he asks, do they not realize what they are actually saying to the market? Do they think they're somehow mathematically exempt from being replaced because they're the creators?
Which is such a funny thought.
It is. Or, and this is the more cynical angle, do they secretly know the truth?
That the tech actually isn't that good yet.
Exactly. That it's nowhere near capable of autonomous engineering, and therefore they just, aren't actually worried about their own jobs.
Or my absolute favorite option that he floats, are they just not all that smart to begin with?
Right.
It's such a wild dynamic. It's like they are caught in their own marketing trap.
They absolutely are. It sets up this incredible paradox. You have the architects of the system claiming the system will make architects obsolete.
Wow.
And then, waiting in the wings, you have what Cohen labels the incredibly stupid smart management, who are just eagerly swallowing this exact narrative.
Oh, the management teams who are actually writing the checks and freezing the hiring pipelines.
Yep.
And Cohen questions their motivations too, right? Like, are these C-suite executives actually believing their own corporate hype?
Or are they just trying to keep this trillion-dollar AI bubble inflating so they can exercise their stock options and cash out?
Cash out before the whole thing pops. Right.
Exactly. Or do they just imagine that, no matter what happens to the engineers below them, their executive jobs in the C-suite are totally safe and they'll be rich anyway?
Yeah, the psychology behind all of this is what makes it a masterclass in corporate self-delusion.
Oh, 100%. What Cohen is pointing to is essentially a modern trillion-dollar Emperor's New Clothes
Again, I
situation.
love that comparison.
Yeah, you have this massive financial bubble, and the narrative hype has completely outpaced the actual technical reality of the software.
And nobody wants to say anything.
Right. No one at the top wants to admit the emperor is naked because the financial incentives to keep the bubble expanding are just too powerful.
It's like if you are a CEO in 2026 and you don't project a narrative of radical AI-driven cost reduction, your stock just tanks.
Exactly. Management buys the hype. Because the hype is what Wall Street rewards today, completely, regardless of the technical debt it creates for tomorrow.
So I was trying to think of a way to visualize this dynamic in a physical space.
Okay, let's hear it.
It feels like, imagine a group of master carpenters. And they invent a brand new type of hammer.
A very smart hammer.
Right, a really impressive high-tech hammer. But then they start going around to all the major construction conglomerates, bragging that this new hammer is so advanced it will soon be able to read blueprints and build an entire house on its own.
Completely unsupervised,
It's.
which is a very dangerous promise to make to people who only look at balance sheets.
Yes, because the people who run the construction companies hear this. They look at the labor costs, they believe the pitch, and they say, "Great, we are going to stop hiring carpenters."
And then suddenly.
Suddenly, those same master carpenters are looking around the job site, completely shocked that their own marketing pitch costs them their livelihood.
While the house still isn't built.
Right, because the hammer is just sitting there in the dirt.
That's a great way to look at it, because a hammer, no matter how advanced its internal mechanisms are, it still needs an arm to swing it and a highly trained brain to interpret the complexities of the blueprints.
Exactly.
The financial bubble relies on selling the dream of the autonomous hammer to investors who have never actually swung one. And that is exactly the dangerous dynamic Cohen is calling out.
So, if this dynamic is driven by financial incentives rather than technical reality, I mean, if the geniuses and the management are both heavily invested in selling this narrative of imminent AI replacement, what actually happens when you sit down, shut out all the noise of the venture capital hype, and try to make this technology write functional software?
Like, how does the hammer actually swing?
Exactly.
Well, this is where Cohen's report pivots from industry critique to highly practical analysis. Because Cohen isn't just an observer sitting in an ivory tower, you know.
He's actually doing the work.
He is actively testing and using this technology in his integrated development environment every single day.
And his verdict on the claim that AI will quickly replace programmers.
He states it is completely unjustified by the current technologies actually available in the market.
I mean, he actually calls it really crap, quote unquote.
He doesn't hold back.
Specifically, when it comes to programming complicated things where you need the details to be exactly right.
He draws a very firm line in the sand regarding where the technology shines and where it just completely collapses.
Okay, so where does it shine?
Well, AI is okay for a first draft. It can generate something that looks structurally sound, you know, if you just glance at the syntax. It mimics the shape of good code.
Yes.
But the moment you get into the actual technical details,
Yeah.
the deeper logic, the edge cases, the security vulnerabilities, it just falls apart.
Right.
He notes it is also good for tasks that are so incredibly simple and repetitive that human programmers had already figured out how to largely automate them anyway using standard libraries and templates.
Okay, wait, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Go for it.
Because if you read further into the report, Cohen also admits that using AI is faster and somewhat better than just looking things up on websites
That's true.
or, digging through Stack Overflow forums trying to find where other developers have faced the exact same problem.
Right.
So if he openly admits it is faster than doing traditional research, isn't that actually a massive game-changing win?
Well.
Like, why give the AI such a harsh failing grade overall if it is undeniably speeding up the research and drafting phase of development?
Because speeding up research and syntax generation is not the same thing as architectural reliability.
Ah, okay.
And that distinction is the core of Cohen's argument. Let's look at his specific workflow to understand the mechanics here.
Yeah, let's get into the details.
He mentions working with code bases of about 10,000 lines of code. Now, for you listening, 10,000 lines isn't a massive global operating system, but it is complex enough that it has deep cascading dependencies.
Right, all the different modules, functions, and database calls have to integrate perfectly.
Precisely. It's not just a script you write in an hour. It's a structured architecture. And the crucial insight Cohen provides is this: the further you step away from the code itself, the less you are able to actually assure reasonable outcomes.
When he says stepping away from the code, my read on that is he's talking about abstraction. Like, the higher level the command you give the AI, the more you just have to cross your fingers and hope it doesn't break the underlying foundation.
You nailed it. And let's break down how that failure mechanism actually works mechanically.
Please do.
Large language models right now operate fundamentally as incredible synthesizers of localized information. They operate probabilistically.
So they're guessing based on patterns.
Exactly. They scrape their training data, they find the syntax you need for a specific prompt, and they spit out a localized chunk of code.
Okay.
But they are not reliable architects because they lack a persistent, holistic understanding of state, across a complex program.
They don't see the big picture.
No, they don't inherently understand the deep interconnected logic of your specific 10,000-line proprietary project.
So the AI is hyper-focused on the immediate prompt, but completely blind to the wider ecosystem of the software.
That is the mechanical flaw. Yeah. So when you ask the AI to fix a localized bug in a function on, say, line 500, it might give you a brilliantly optimized fix for line 500.
Which seems great at first.
But it is completely unaware that its new, quote-unquote, optimized syntax just entirely broke the data pipeline, feeding into a dependency way down on line 8,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it fixes the local issue and creates a catastrophic structural failure down the line.
Oh, man. So it really is like hiring a hyper-fast, incredibly overeager intern.
That is a very good way to put it.
Like, you tell this intern, hey, my filing cabinet is a total mess. Can you reorganize it? And they do it in record time. It takes them 10 minutes.
And it looks amazing.
Right. You look at the files and they are beautiful, color-coded, perfect. Mm-hmm. That is great. But then a week later, you realize that while they were reorganizing, they accidentally threw away your actual passport because it didn't fit into their new color scheme.
Exactly.
So yes, they are incredibly fast at the localized task, but you have to constantly stand over their shoulder and watch every single thing they throw away.
That is a brilliant analogy for what Cohen calls the whack-a-mole problem in AI coding.
Whack-a-mole. Yeah, that tracks.
And he explicitly states that if you want the program to actually run successfully after the AI makes a change, you better have a really, really rigorous testing regimen in place.
Like regression testing.
Extensive regression testing. Mm-hmm. Because the more stuff the AI fixes, the more stuff it breaks in that same code base.
You fix the filing cabinet, you lose the passport.
You fix the passport, you lose the birth certificate.
It sounds utterly exhausting for the developer who actually has to manage it.
Oh, it's a massive cognitive load. And it requires extreme caution and constant version control.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
Cohen talks about how he literally has to take control of segments of code once they are finally working, just to put up a wall to stop the AI from screwing them up again.
He has to quarantine the code from the AI.
Exactly. He keeps copies of every single back version of his repository because, in his own words, he has to revert the AI fairly often.
Revert the AI.
Yeah, he's constantly hitting the undo button, constantly pulling from previous commits, just to prevent the AI from permanently destroying his previous work.
Revert the AI. I mean, just think about the implications of that phrase. It really shatters the illusion of the omnipotent machine, doesn't it?
It really does.
If the veteran developers who are testing this stuff in the trenches day to day have to constantly quarantine the AI's work, build walls around their functioning code, and keep endless backup copies just in case the AI goes rogue.
Right.
How on earth is management talking about this technology replacing entire engineering departments?
Well, the short answer is they shouldn't be.
Clearly.
As Cohen points out, imagine how destructive this dynamic must be for development teams who aren't as cautious or who don't have the rigorous testing protocols that he does.
Yeah, teams just winging it.
If an inexperienced team just blindly trusts the AI's first draft because it looks syntactically correct without running those deep regression tests,
oh boy,
they're looking at completely destroying their architecture and having to regenerate massive amounts of content from scratch when the cascading failures finally hit production.
Which brings us to a really fascinating and honestly slightly dark contrast in Cohen's report.
Yeah, this card is interesting.
Because up to this point, we have been talking about a figurative fraud, right? The trillion-dollar hype bubble where AI marketing is promising way more autonomy than the software can actually deliver.
Yes.
But Cohen introduces a literal criminal element into the mix to highlight the absurdity of the situation.
He does.
He pulls a headline from the FBI in 2025. It reads, AI-powered fraud tops $893 million, real toll, likely far higher.
And Cohen's reaction to this statistic is incredibly telling.
Yeah.
He really speaks volumes about where he thinks the real danger lies.
How so?
Well, he looks at that $893 million in literal criminal fraud,
mm-hmm.
you know, the automated steer phishing campaigns, the deepfake scams, the synthetic identity theft, and he essentially brushes it off.
Wow.
He argues that the FBI isn't counting the true crime, which is the trillion-dollar fraud of the AI corporate hype bubble itself.
I want to make sure we really grasp the irony he's pointing out here.
That's massive.
We have federal agencies scrambling to track millions of dollars stolen by bad actors using AI tools.
Right.
But meanwhile, in Silicon Valley, you have a vastly larger sum of money literally trillions of dollars in market capitalization and venture capital tied up in a collective delusion about a tool that actively breaks basic logic loops and requires constant human babysitting.
That's his point exactly. He is saying the corporate overpromising, the misalignment of massive amounts of global capital, is a far bigger systemic issue than the literal criminals using AI to steal money.
He's highlighting a staggering disparity in how we view risk, isn't it?
Absolutely. $1 million phishing scam is treated as a severe crime, but $1 billion valuation for a company selling an impossible autonomous engineering dream is just considered a smart venture capital play.
But then, right after he calls the entire industry a $1 trillion fraud, he immediately pivots.
Yeah, he does a total 180.
He clarifies that AI is not entirely a fraud in its utility.
And this is where his pragmatism really shines through. Because despite all his harsh criticism of the boardroom hype and the whack-a-mole coding frustrations, he acknowledges that good things are actually coming from the technology. It does make people more efficient at specific tasks. It does make them more effective when used as an accelerator, and it reduces costs for many rote processes.
He openly admits he uses it himself every day.
Exactly, and he finds it genuinely helpful for his workflow.
So how do we reconcile this massive contradiction?
It's tough.
We have an $893 million literal crime wave. We have a $1 trillion corporate hype bubble driven by executives who don't understand the tech.
Yep.
The AI itself breaks complex code as fast as it fixes it, requiring constant version control. And yet, Cohen, a highly critical expert, still uses it day to day.
He does.
So for you listening right now, how do you navigate a tool that is simultaneously a security risk, a bloated corporate bubble, and a genuine efficiency booster?
Well, if we synthesize Cohen's experience, he is actually offering an incredibly grounded, pragmatic middle path here.
Okay.
The fundamental danger we are facing right now isn't the underlying neural networks or the technology itself.
What is it then?
The danger is blind trust. The danger is the abdication of human oversight and critical thinking. Cohen distills all of his frustration and all of his testing down to a sort of golden rule for navigating the AI era.
The golden rule, let's hear it.
He states plainly that you cannot really trust it. You must independently check the results of everything it generates.
Okay.
And then he delivers the punchline, which serves as the ultimate filter for when to actually deploy this technology, he says. In other words, when it doesn't really matter, use the AI.
Wow. When it doesn't really matter, use the AI.
Yeah.
That is such a powerful paradigm-shifting framework because it completely redefines the tool.
It really strips away all the Silicon Valley mystique, doesn't it?
It does. It's not a magical replacement for a human architect. It's a high-speed accelerator for low-stakes, busy work.
Exactly. It places the tool in its proper context. If you need a rough draft of an email to your team, or if you need to summarize a long, dense article.
Or if you're generating simple boilerplate code.
Right. Or rejects patterns where a syntax error won't crash, the production server use the AI. It'll undoubtedly save you time and cognitive energy.
Sure.
But the moment the stakes get high, the moment you are dealing with complex system architecture or cybersecurity protocols or structural integrity, where things have to be exactly right and dependencies matter.
That's when you have to step in.
That is when you must rely on human verification and architectural understanding. The technology is a synthesizer of past data. It is not a savior for future complexity.
Which perfectly sets up Cohen's big conclusion at the end of the report.
That part is great.
And it is cynical, it is funny, and it honestly ties the entire absurd narrative together beautifully.
Let's hear it.
He says, after looking at the entire landscape, after watching the geniuses claiming they'll replace themselves, and the executives blindly buying the hype to inflate their stock, and the AI itself constantly breaking the very systems it is supposed to fix, he says that people are dumb to the point where if an alien approached Earth looking for signs of intelligent life, they would probably determine there was none here.
And his final parting sentence of the report is simply, super stupid AI proves it.
Super stupid AI proves it. It's so good.
It really is.
But you know, underneath that heavy cynicism, there is a really empowering takeaway for you listening to this right now.
Absolutely.
Because everywhere you look, there is this immense manufactured pressure, this pervasive narrative that if you don't fully automate your entire workflow right this second, you are going to be left behind by the market.
Right. That the AI is coming for your job, so you better surrender your processes to it immediately.
And what Cohen's hands-on experience decisively proves is that you do not need to feel overwhelmed by that pressure.
You do not need to buy into the $1 trillion FOMO bubble.
You can confidently treat AI for what it actually is right now, a helpful but deeply flawed brainstorming partner.
It's that overeager, hyper-fast intern.
Yes. You can absolutely let it organize the filing cabinet to save yourself an hour, but you keep your passport safely in your own pocket. You don't have to trust it blindly just because the C-suite read a glossy brochure and says so.
The professionals in the trenches,
Yeah.
the developers actually building, compiling, and testing this stuff against real-world parameters, they aren't trusting it blindly either.
Not at all.
They are the ones frantically hitting revert and maintaining rigorous backup copies just to keep their systems afloat.
And that leaves me with one final thought for you to mull over, something that really stuck with me from the mechanics of Cohen's workflow.
What's that?
Well, he is operating in a relatively contained, localized environment, right? He is working with about 10,000 lines of code.
Right.
And even in that small, controlled sandbox, the AI behaves wildly unpredictably. It plays whack-a-mole, it hallucinates syntax, it breaks structural logic while trying to fix minor bugs.
Yeah.
But because it is a small, contained development environment, Cohen has a safety net. He can simply hit undo. He can pull a previous commit. He can revert to a backup copy.
He maintains absolute control over the execution of those segments.
He has control. But here is the truly provocative question we are facing as we rush to adopt this technology on a macro scale.
Okay.
If artificial intelligence behaves this unpredictably and requires this much constant human quarantine and regression testing just to function in a tiny 10,000-line
Oh,
sandbox,
I see where you're going with this.
what happens when we start integrating these exact same heavily hyped AI systems into massive, interconnected global infrastructures?
Wow. We're talking about integrating them into legacy power grids, high-frequency financial markets, or global healthcare supply chain networks, systems with millions of cascading dependencies.
Exactly. What happens when the AI starts hallucinating or breaking critical logic pathways in those massive real-world systems, and there is no simple revert button to push?
That is the trillion-dollar question that the industry is desperately trying to ignore.
It really is something to think about the next time you see a glossy brochure promising that the new AI hammer is going to build the entire house all by itself. I'll catch you next time.